Well, we're in our last week of our abundance series, as I've shared with you already. And my hope for this series has been that you'll start to have a deeper appreciation of how abundant our God is. Because sometimes we have a disconnect between knowing it and knowing it. And when we really know that our God is so abundant in everything that he has and is, and that everything that needs to be done has been done on the cross of Jesus Christ for our wholeness and our freedom, I think we can enter into a boldness in our relationship with God, which I hoped that you have been exploring as we go. Because if we believe that God is limited in his love for us, then we're not going to experience the fullness of his love. And if we think that God is limited in his forgiveness, that somehow there might be something that we've done that is too big for God's forgiveness, then we're never going to enter into the fullness. And so my prayer has been over this last month that you'll be open and exploring how big and how wide and how deep and how magnificent our God is. So as we come to God's word, let's pray together, shall we? Loving God, I thank you and praise you for your faithfulness and for your goodness. Out of all the stars in the universe, Lord, this one has your eye and we have your eye upon it. How grand and how magnificent you are, yet how loving and how devoted you are that you care for everything that is in this world and how you care for us. And so, Lord, we open our minds and our hearts to you this morning because we want you to speak to us and we want you to continue to guide us and transform us and renew us by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about God's abundant strength. And I think I'm pretty glad that God's got abundant strength, because I've worked out after 50 years that I don't. Have you worked that out yet? Some of you are a little bit wiser than me. You've got a few more grey hair. Let's just face it, you've got a few more hairs, full stop, than me. And if we've lived anything of a journey of this life, we realise that boy, your energy can run out. You know, I know what it's like to be physically spent. My wife loves renovating. And I just have this code phrase that I'm really grateful that she's picked up. At some point in the day when I know that I cannot get anything out of my body left, I say, honey, I'm cooked. I'm done. And she goes, that's it. Let's pack up the tools. Let's go home. Because I know that I've knelt down, bent down, put up, nailed up, screwed up, laid tiles to the point where my body's just gone, that's it. I know what it's like to be physically spent. And the more that you push yourself physically, sometimes, you know, that helps you grow in your ability. I remember the show The Biggest Loser, and they would just make them run and run and run until they vomited. And they say, that's exactly the point that you need to be at, because you've pushed yourself to the edge of your ability. Now you've got to push yourself a little bit more and you'll grow in your ability. Apparently that's the thing. I've never experienced it personally. You know, apparently running or doing exercise, you can get to this point where you get over this magical barrier and you can get into something called a rhythm and you can just run, but I've never experienced that personally. So if that's you, God bless you. I just hit a wall and I fall backwards and collapse. That's just my thing. Anyway, I know what it's like to be spent, and I know what it's like to, you know, to be really, really tired. But then there's another thing, isn't there, physically, that when you're in pain, it's a whole different thing. You know, I watched my dad when he was in pain for 10 years. And his pain just affected him so much that it didn't matter, you know, what was going on in his life. His pain controlled everything that he was doing. It controlled his movement. It controlled how he interacted. I know what it's like to be emotionally spent. And one of the things, the joys and the struggles of being a minister is that everyone talks to you. And that can be great until you have 10 conversations that are all very different, but you make a connection between them all. And all of a sudden there's an emotional energy that goes out of you. And I can imagine some of you who are in caring professions, you have to very much control your emotional energy, because if it runs dry, then you can start getting just a little bit drained in what they call compassion fatigue. I know what it's like to be physically spent, and I know what it's like to be emotionally spent, and I also know what it's like to be spiritually spent. When your relationship with God just seems dry, and nothing that you seem to pray or connect with God seems to make any difference. When I was at the church that I came to faith at, there was a period of about 6 years that I went through where my relationship with God was hard work. It was nothing but purely getting up, doing my disciplines, because I knew that's what God wanted me to do. There was little joy. There was little fruitfulness in what I saw God do in me and through me, and I just felt dry. I don't know about you, but when you look at our strength, it's pretty fragile. I don't know about you, I think that when you look at our physical, our emotional and our spiritual strength, it can be pretty fragile. It doesn't take too much for us to physically struggle. All you have to do is do a back, pull a calf muscle, do something, and all of a sudden your energy goes. It's not too hard to feel emotionally spent. All you need is a broken relationship in your life. And all of a sudden your brain is ticking over and you're using emotional energy that you wouldn't normally use. I'm going to say it's not too hard to be spiritually spent, where your spiritual disciplines drop away and all of a sudden you're doing things in your own strength. I reckon I've worked out that if one of my strengths goes down out of the three, I'm okay. So physically, I'm a bit sore or spent, but emotionally and spiritually, I'm okay. I think I can cope with that. I think emotionally, if I'm down, as long as I'm spiritually and physically okay, I think I can cope with that. I think that if spiritually I'm down, but physically and emotionally I'm okay, I think I can cope with that. What about you? Where are you at physically and emotionally and spiritually? Are you drawing deep from your own well, or are you allowing God to do something? Because you know what? I don't believe that we can be abundant in God's strength if we're only operating out of two out of the three. I don't think we can be abundant in what God wants to give us in his strength if we're operating only out of two out of the three, or even one out of the three. I think if we're operating one out of three, we're in crisis. And so what I want to put to you this morning is that God wants to give us his strength. And we're going to see a reading in a minute that's going to just highlight that beautifully. But before we get there, I mean, God has given us things just in our rhythm of life to help us be reasonably healthy in those three areas. Did you know that there's something called sleep? And sleep is actually designed to re-energize your body. You ever wondered why the creation story says on the seventh day God rests, and so therefore we call it a Sabbath? There's actually a spiritual discipline of being a Sabbath. It is good for your health. Getting 8 hours sleep a night-ish is good for your health. Apparently there's something called getting out of the bed happy. I haven't experienced it personally, but I'm not a morning person, but you know what? My wife does it every morning and I'm just jealous. God gives us ability to sleep and to rest, to have days off, so that we can recuperate ourselves physically. God gives us and designed us to have good relationships so that we can be healthy emotionally. Relationships that, you know, that help us pull out all the things that's going on. God gives us crying so that we can process stuff. God gives us laughing so that we can enjoy stuff. And God gives us hope that there is a better future. And that is all very God-given gifts for us to be emotionally healthy. And God gives us spiritual practices so that we can stay spiritually healthy. God gives us worship together. God gives us prayer. God gives us joy. God gives us peace so that we can stay spiritually healthy and spiritually energized. So God, just in our natural rhythm of life, have given us things that can keep us buoyant in our things. But what happens? What happens if we start to find ourselves depleted in one or two of these areas? How can we get God's heart for his abundant strength in our life? Well, we're going to pull apart Isaiah 40 and the last bit of this passage. And the and this is really the end bit of a bit of a poem that is God talking about the fact that he has created this world. And he doesn't abandon it, but he is in there 100% of the time. That he is for creation, that he never grows weary looking after creation. He never grows weary looking after you. He never grows weary answering your prayers. He never grows weary at all. And this is the climax of that Isaiah 40 passage that breaks that down. Do you not know and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. So timeless. You know, do you not know and have you not heard means remember. That's what the writer is trying to say. Remember, God is everlasting. God is abundant. God is beyond all. The creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. So there's no limit to his strength. There's no limit to what he wants to do and what he can do. He is abundant in strength. He gives strength to the weary. Let's just pause there for a bit. Are you saying weary or are you saying gives? He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths will grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So what is he saying? The fittest of the fit, the ones who've got it all together, even they were going to run out of strength at some point in their life. He said, but if you want to have strength that doesn't run out or be renewed in strength and hope in the Lord, we'll pull that apart in a minute. And they will soar like on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not grow faint. How cool is that? They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. So here we have a passage in Isaiah. And of course, Isaiah is talking to the Israelites when they're in exile, when they're in deficit, when they're without their home, when they're without their temple, when they're spiritually dry, emotionally dry, and physically they've just got to do what they're told to do. They're in exile. And the writer is saying to you, you might be in exile, you might be without, you might be lacking in physical, emotional, or spiritual strength, but don't you think that because you are, that God is lacking anything? Don't think because of your situation, that your situation reflects on God. But indeed, he's trying to shift people's thinking to say, don't let your situation tell you what God's like, let God shine his light on what your situation is so that it can be different. And I just love that the words there say that he gives strength. That he wants to hand it to us. He wants to give it to us. And I wonder why, as people of faith, that becomes such an issue for us. Why God wanting to give us strength, why do we struggle to receive it? And maybe you've been in a situation where you've been praying for God's strength, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. And what's on with that? Barry, I prayed for strength. I prayed for spiritual encouragement. I prayed for emotional encouragement. I prayed for this. What's going on? Well, I want to say to you today, this morning, sometime this week, that this is God's heart, is to give you strength in all those areas of your life. And so if there's an issue, I'm not going to say that the issue is you, I'm just going to say if you're not receiving it, then there is an issue, because that's God's heart. But I have found that there are things in my life and potentially in yours that will stop us from receiving God's strength. And the main thing I see in people's lives and indeed even my own is that I am too quick to run my tank dry doing life my way, instead of turning to God and relying on his strength. And I'm too quick to do it in the fact that I wait until my tank is fully empty. And I go, oh no. And God's got so much work to do to fill me back up again and then overflowing. And if I was wiser than I am today, as soon as I started to see that my tank was starting to drop a little, I would turn to God and say, God, fill me again. But you know what? There are times, not you, but maybe just me, that I'm stubborn, that I want to do life my way, that I want to have things ticked the way that I want to do them. I don't want to humble myself before God. I don't want to deal with the things that God wants me to deal with. And so instead of stepping into his strength and his abundance, I'm stepping into doing it with my strength and my limited resources. I don't know about you, but for me, I find that sometimes that I just like to justify the way that I do things and why I do them. Even when my tank is running dry, when I start to get emotionally drained, I just start getting a little bit snappy with people. And I start to justify that. When I start to get spiritually dry, I start getting a little bit judgmental. I'm sorry that your pastor's not perfect, but that's where it is. And sometimes I can find myself justifying, going, those people, they do that. And so I'm justified to be angry. I'm justified to be bitter. I'm justified to it. And instead of coming humbly before God and saying, God, renew me and restore me and strengthen me, I'm blaming people for the situations that are happening in my life. Is it just me? I hope you don't mind getting a little bit real this morning. But But there's even times when we can blame God for our circumstances. And instead of receiving God's refreshing, renewing, restoring, abundant strength, love, forgiveness, grace, we blame God for what's happening in our lives. And it's a wonderful trap of the evil one that he encourages us to do that. You see, because if you start blaming God for what's going on in your life, then you're actually turning away from the source of life that can actually help you. Sometimes we can get there and we can just say, God, this is God's fault. And instead of coming humbly before him, we can do it. And the last thing that we can do as people is that we can look to get our own get strength from things other than God, from idols. You know, we can look to get our recuperation from the television. We can look to get our energy and our affirmation from other people. We can start drawing from other wells that God never designed us to draw from. We can expect people to be our life force, our energy and our emotional support when all along it's meant to be God. We can make idols of people and of work and of situations, and we can look for a validation and an approval and an acknowledgement from other sources to try and make ourselves feel better, make our strength return. But it is the blind leading the blind. It is the dry trying to fill up the dry. But God says, I want to give you my strength. And this is what he says. He said, those who hope in the Lord. Can we pull that up again, Dylan? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, that word hope is really interesting. You look in different translations, you'll have different words for the word hope. Now, I'm going to try and sound like I know what I'm talking about. The Hebrew word is kuvor, okay, and it means a little bit more than hope. It means it does mean hope, but it also means wait. It also means rest. It also means to be patient, and it also means to abide. And so it's not just I've just got to hope that God is going to do something. It's a fuller word than that. And so I think to get our hope in the Lord and to get our strength renewed, we've got to start pulling apart this word and saying, what does God mean by this word hope, kavor? What does it mean? And so we're going to pull that apart a little bit and see if we can do it, get some hope. See, hope, from our understanding of hope is enduring for a different outcome. We saw that in stories from different wars, where prison of wars, there would be people who would have hope that one day they would get out, and they would have people that didn't hope that they would get out. And those who had hope that they were going to get out were healthier and more sustained than those who lost hope. And for us, if we're going to have our hope in the Lord, we've got to know that God is on our side and that God is working for a different future for us. And this is a fundamental thinking thing that we have to do. Whenever I find myself in a difficult situation, my very first thought is, God's got this. That's my first thought. Every time I open up a letter and there's a speeding fine, I say, God's got this. Had two in the last 3 months. All doing church work, I might add, but that's okay. So if our hope is in the Lord, our hope is, oh no, this tragedy is happening or this situation is happening. If our hope is in the Lord, it is not, oh my goodness, how am I going to cope with this? Your first thought is, God is working for my good. I don't understand why it's happening. I don't understand how I'm going to get from A to B. But my hope is that God is with me and God is going to make it come together somehow. And as soon as we do that, we can throw off a whole lot of worry. We can throw off a whole lot of circling thinking. Because if our hope is in the Lord and that God has got us, then God will do something in us and through us, and that God will make a way for us. When we hope in the Lord and have that thinking, then God's love and grace can enter into it. Now, the problem with hoping is that we've got to have patience with it. And this word encompasses the word patience in there. That we've got to be patient, that we don't expect God to fix it in our time, but we expect God to work it through in His time. If you like, for me, patience is practicing hope. It's trusting that God's got it, that God will turn up, that God will make a way. It is putting that into practice. And we've seen that with the stories in the Bible of God saying, I will do something, and the people of God either trying to make it happen themselves in their own strength or trusting and having hope and faith in God that He will make it happen in His time. And if we want to draw upon the strength of the Lord, we've got to hope, we've got to understand that God has got us, and we've got to be patient that God will work it out His way and in His time. And if we try to push it through in our time, then all of a sudden we're starting to draw upon our own strength again and doing it our own way. So to hope in the Lord and to have patience in the Lord. And this is the one that I want you to concentrate on, is rest in the Lord. This word encompasses the word rest. And when you're resting, there is no greater vulnerable time in your life. When you think about it, you are completely vulnerable when you're resting. When you got your eyes closed, and you feel like me, you're snoring, you're vulnerable. Anyone can come up to you and do anything to you. But it says rest in the Lord. So what does that mean? Well, it means create space for you and God to be connected. But it's also, are you being vulnerable with God? Are you sitting and unpacking what is going on in your life with God? See, most of our emotional energy is depleted because we don't process our emotions. We don't allow ourselves to cry, or we don't allow ourselves to laugh, or we don't allow other people to help us. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with people of faith who say they believe in God, and I've asked them if they've prayed about the situation they're going through, and they go, no. So if you want to draw upon the strength of the Lord, you've got to rest in the Lord. You've got to be vulnerable to God. You've got to allow God to help you process all that's going through. You've got to be humble before God and say, here I am, God. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. And I need you right now. Now, I don't know how people's quiet times are focused. You've got your very diligent, quiet type people who like to journal, you know, crack out the Bible and they write copious notes and they pray. And that's great. If you're one of those people, God bless you. Do it every single day. There are the arrow in the sky quiet time people. And these are the people who are so busy that all they've got time for is to shoot up an arrow prayer to God every once in a while. But if you need to renew your strength, neither of those two are going to do it. If you want to renew your strength in the Lord, then you've got to rest in the Lord. What does that mean? That means time. That means vulnerability. When I am getting stressed, running low on energy, both emotionally or spiritually, the first thing I'll do is I'll carve out more time for God and myself. It's a spiritual practice. And you know what? I come and I'm vulnerable before God, and then I just sit and be. Now, if you're a doer, this is going to drive you nuts. But I sit and I be. And sometimes I fall asleep and sometimes I don't. But I sit and I go, you know what, God? I'm just going to sit and I'm going to be and I'm going to wait upon you. And I'm going to praise you and I'm going to just be in your presence. And I like to take the mental illness of mental image of a child sitting on a father's lap or a mother's lap. And I just say, I just want to sit with you, Dad. And I want to let you renew me and restore me. Now, for some of you, that might sound very alien, but I've got to tell you that when I need the strength from God, that's where I go. I rest and I become vulnerable with my dad. And I go and tell my dad all my problems. And then I just sit and be. And you know what? Time after time after time, I start to feel my heart change and my energy and grow within me. My emotional elasticity comes back. I deal with my anger and my hurt and my frustration, and all of a sudden I come alive again. I lock myself in my study and I just be with God. And the last thing that this word means, this hope, other than hope and patience and resting, is to bind or to abide together. And the word abide you would have remembered from John's Gospel, chapter 15, where he's talking about the imagery of the vine. You abide in me and I'll abide in you and you'll bear much fruit. But abiding just means that you're not in it alone, that you're actually entwined with someone else. And it's saying that if you want to renew your strength in your Lord, be entwined with God. Let God be God and let you be his son or his daughter and allow him to renew you and to strengthen you. But to realize that you're not in it alone, that God is with you and that God wants to give you his strength. So if you are in deficit this morning, then I want to encourage you to put your hope, as we've outlined it, in the Lord. And he will come and he will strengthen you. In the end part here it says, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary and walk and not grow faint. I love that imagery. Because it's not flapping your wings like a chicken. Not that chicken flap their wings. What's a better thing to say? It's not flapping your wings at 1,000 miles an hour. It's soaring. The great thing about eagles and maybe seagulls is that they just ride the air currents. They're not expending a great deal of energy at all. And imagine what your life would be where you are so tapped into God and his strength for you that you went through life soaring just on the air currents. And not expending so much emotional or spiritual or physical energy. Can you imagine what that's like? Well, if you can't, I've done it for you. For me, to soar like an eagle is about putting worry in its place. It's about worrying about what I have to worry about, but not worrying about what I don't. and handing it over to God and allowing God to do the hard work. That for me is soaring like an eagle. When a situation comes up, to know how to deal with it the way that God wants me to deal with it and to trust Him with what He needs to do and to get on with what I need to do. Soaring like an eagle for me means dealing with my emotions properly. It's about when I'm upset with someone to go and deal with it. When I need to show affection appropriately, that I do that because I can. It's about dealing with the emotions. It's about crying when I need to cry. And it's about laughing when I need to laugh. It's about enjoying the people around me and their presence. For me, soaring like an eagle is allowing the Spirit of God to lead me throughout my day. I remember one time that I was in Gawler and I was practicing this, and just in the middle of the day I was in my office. God said, get up and go down the main street. All right? I was going, wow, this is going to be a great encounter. Looking for who God wants me to share with. And there was no one there. I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I just wanted to know if you'd do it. But imagine having the freedom and the strength within your life to be able to follow the Spirit's lead. For me, that's soaring like an eagle. For me, being expectant that God is going to answer prayer. Soaring like an eagle. I don't know what it's like for you, but I know that God wants to give you His strength so that you can soar. So I'm wondering, will you stand with me if you're able? If you're in need of God's abundant strength this morning, either emotionally, physically, or spiritually, then I just want you to put your hands out in front of you. I'm going to be praying for healing this morning, so if you've got some healing that you need to happen, stick your hands out in front of you. If you're wanting God's abundant strength for your life, put your hands out. Let's pray together. Loving God, I thank You that You care for us holistically. That You don't just care about our souls, but You care about our minds and You care about our bodies. And so for Lord, those people right now that have got their hands out, that have got a physical ailment that is drawing their strength away from them, I pray in Jesus' name that they'll be healed right now. That Your healing touch will be upon them and You will renew their strength in that way. That You will fill their body with Your Spirit. You will electrify their physical parts, Lord, so that they will be restored and renewed. I pray for those now, Lord, who have got emotional strength that has been depleted. And I pray right now, Lord, that You will renew their mind and that You will share with them how You love them and how You are for them. And You'll help them, Lord, to release all the worry that is in their hearts and their minds. And Lord, that they can say, Lord, here I am. I give it all to You. And for those, Lord, who are standing with their hands out, who are spiritually needing of Your strength, right now, Lord, come and meet them in their deepest parts of who they are. And fill them afresh and anew with Your Spirit. Give them a touch of Your grace and Your love and Your power. For those, Lord, with hardened hearts, with dry hearts, with sad hearts, Lord, may You refresh and renew and restore. Lord, help us, all of us, whether we got our hands out or not, to trust in Your abundant strength, Your abundant love, Your abundant forgiveness. And may You continue to remind us, Lord, not to do it on our own, but to abide in you, to walk with you, and to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.